Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to the Fantasy Football Podcast on 929thegame.com, formerly known as the Fantasy Flex. Bo Johnson, Brian Gebhardt, here with you. BG, we're on to week 16, championship week, man. How did you survive, or did you?
No surviving for me. It's been a couple weeks since we've done this. You know, we missed you last week, and we'll get
apologies
to this more.
For that, yep.
We missed you last week, but so did Keenan Allen. So did Saquon Barkley, Aaron Jones, Lamar Miller, Aaron Rodgers.
All of the New Orleans Saints, minus Alvin Kamara.
Andrew Luck, Adam Thielen, Amari Cooper, Eric Ebron, Drew Brees, and
OBJ
Dak Prescott.
Sat one out.
So if you're mad at us, be mad at them
Leonard
as well.
Net. Nick Chubb.
But no, unfortunately, I played in a total of five leagues, one of them being the college league. So I had four NFL leagues. I made the playoffs in three of those four, got eliminated in the quarterfinals in two of them. And then in our league this past week, mostly due to a kicker, which is always fun. So, and now we see each other in the third place game, which we'll have to figure out something to play for there. But I'm all done, just out here playing for pride now.
So, out of 10 pro leagues, I made the semifinals in four and got booted out of three of them this past week.
That's tough.
It was brutal, man. It was a horrible week for fantasy football and for a lot of like top 10, top five guys that carried you to the playoffs. They successfully had a hand in booting you from those said playoffs, too. So,
and just odds-wise, you got lucky if you had a good quarterback this week. I mean, just based on the names we dropped here, Aaron Rodgers, Andrew Luck, Drew Brees, Dak Prescott, that, not even to mention Cam Newton. There's probably a couple other guys I can't even think of right now. But, I mean, I had Josh Allen in one, and he was pretty good. He was probably a top eight quarterback this week. And just a really rough week across the board. I know. I don't know if you ever see that Red Zone channel. But there was, I believe, nine less touchdowns or 12 less. I forgot the exact number.
It was one of the lowest fantasy football scoring weeks in, like, the history of fantasy football. Like, one of, like, top five.
And it wasn't like a lot of these guys had – a lot of these guys didn't even have so-so games. I mean, a lot of these people just had awful games, like zero touchdowns and just – Not a lot good going
on. So with that being said, let's roll on into what had happened was, because it was a successfully bad week across fantasy football. So let's start with this 92.9 The Game Fantasy League. So we were both made it to the semifinals. I was playing Jarrett Smith, and you were playing Wendy Adams.
Yep.
And we both got booted. So I got Damian Williams, and Colts defense did. I had Spencer Ware that I picked up a couple weeks ago and successfully played him in the quarterfinals. Spencer Ware sits out. Jarrett picks up Damian Williams and to the tune of 30.3 points in a PPR scoring lead. And you tack that on with the 19 points that the Colts defense had against the Cowboys, who they shut out. And if you can shut out a team in fantasy football in most leagues, that's a 10-point starter right there that you never lose. So, I got booted. And then Wendy Adams got you with a 22-point game out of a kicker.
Yeah. She had good performances across the board from other people. The hard part was Saturday night, I got Nuke Hopkins goes for 39. So I'm sitting there like,
off
all
to
right,
a great start.
As long as everybody doesn't crap the bed, I'm in good shape. Like, I'm looking great. And then as I say that, Josh Allen's the only other guy who shows up. I think he had 19 points on the day. But between Nick Chubb, Leonard Fournette, Amari Cooper, Michael Thomas, all those guys combined had zero touchdowns. They all put up like half-decent yardage and that type of thing. But, she just had better people across the board. But it's also brutal when you look at it and you go, wow, Faeburn had more points than everybody on my team but Hopkins. And this goes back – this is something we talked about in the beginning of the year. This is something we've talked about throughout the year. For the guys in my main league, if you will, that listen to this podcast, they know it's something I've been trying to do for years. So let's approve it this year. Get kickers, out of fantasy football.
Kickers have no business in fantasy football. I 100% agree.
And here's the reason. They score a lot of points. Like, it's so volatile, and there's no rhyme or reason to it, to the point where at the end of the season, you look at the total points for the year, and it's all the quarterbacks, of course, because they score the most. And you typically will have your top four or five running backs this year, guys like Gurley, McCaffrey, Barkley, people of that nature. And then after that, it's kickers. Like, kickers should not be more important than Stephon Diggs or Kerryon Johnson or, name any other not tier one running back type of guy. And I'm talking about top five tier one.
Yeah.
And in kickers, I mean, kickers are putting up hundreds of points a year, and they shouldn't influence fantasy football.
You go through all this time, because we all do. Now, it can go from 10 minutes a week to several hours a week like we do. You go through all this time from draft preparation all the way through the entire season, researching matchups and stats and all this stuff, and putting together these great fantasy lineups, we assume, every week. And there's no rhyme or reason or planning that you can give to starting a kicker in the National Football League. None of it works. Weather, high-scoring offenses, low-scoring offenses, mediocre-scoring offenses. None of it works, and none of it's consistent as far as a kicker. You don't even have the same best kicker from year to year.
Nope.
Greg the Leg Zuerlein was horrible this year because he was hurt for a lot of it, but then came back and was not the, hey, let me go kick 9 or 10 50-plus yard field goals that are worth 5 points as a default in most fantasy football leagues, which right there is just outrageous. Kicks, field goals are worth 3 points in the NFL. They should be worth 3 points in fantasy football, too. Doesn't matter the distance, you know. But yeah, I agree with you 100% as I start to kind of get into a tizzy here about kickers. In my main dynasty league, we got rid of kickers last year. We put it to a vote, and thankfully, with a lot of
good for your league, I like those people,
you know, plotting and you know, debating on my half, I'd convinced enough people to get rid of kickers. And that should be a conversation for regular fantasy football leagues in the offseason, is getting rid of kickers. You should not be booted from the playoffs because of a 22-point kicker game.
It's just ridiculous. And she would have beat me anyways, but just the fact that 22 points from a kicker, it just shouldn't happen. I mean, and again, if you get 2 or 3 points for it, it just shouldn't be a spot. Put in an extra flex. You know, even as much as I'm not a huge fan of it, go with a two-quarterback league and you got a super flex type of a thing. I'd rather have that than a kicker. And in, more often than not, a lot of matchups throughout fantasy and fantasy playoffs come down to kickers. I've been on both sides of it, so it's not like I've been screwed one way or another throughout my like fantasy career, but it's just dumb.
You lost that game by 13 points and the kicker put up 22, so I don't know that she would have beat you anyway.
Yeah.
All right.
I know.
Now your kicker had a decent game and put up like 10 points or something like that too, but that ties it right there. If you take both kickers out, you tie.
I will say, so, while we're still on our league, at least, you know, the thing is, too, I don't know how some of your other leagues shook out, but Jarrett and Wendy, they had good teams all year. So I don't, and that's the other thing, I don't feel terrible losing to, like, a good team.
Either one of them, yeah.
Again, in my main league, which is always a frustration. Okay, we have 12 teams. 6 teams make the playoffs. That's pretty standard, although I'm like an old-school baseball cat who I like 4 playoff teams because I think you should kind of earn it, but that's a different conversation. Anyways, the 5 and the 6 seed are playing in the championship. They both went 6-7 in the regular season. They weren't even 500, and now they're the ones playing for the championship. It just doesn't add up. I'm sure they had good weeks from kickers, you know?
It might have been.
But I mean, how did it – I mean, I don't know, like off the top of your head, do you know how it worked out, like seeding-wise, as far as – did you have – are good teams – in the championship, or was it kind of like the wild cards that made it in your leagues?
In my main league, it actually worked out to where the 1 through 6 out of 12 teams had the 6 top scoring offenses, which very rarely happens. You hear more stories of the 8th seed having the most points scored, which is why we also do the 6th seed is the most points scored out of the 7 through 12 that don't make it.
I love that, by the way. That's so
awesome. Yeah, absolutely. And that goes back into the research and the work that you do to put in a great fantasy football team, only to be the guy that loses 163-152 and you outscore everybody else in the league by 20 points, and that happens on a weekly basis. That happens to a team in most leagues almost every week. So,
well, while we're complaining here, with what had happened was, since we didn't get to recap week 14 really quickly,
so
as
how'd
far
you do?
As I did awful that week. Just terrible. I had bad calls on Adam Humphries. He was a fire pick. He didn't score a touchdown for the first time in like a month. Justin Jackson, he was a fire pick. Again, this is going back to week 14, not week 15. Justin Jackson was a fire pick. He was a dud. Baker Mayfield, he was a fire pick. He had a bad game. I also whiffed on the saying all the Eagles. That was an ice pick for me, where Wentz actually wound up with 228 yards, three touchdowns. Jeffrey had 50 yards and a touchdown, so he was a solid play. All the running backs were busts, and Zach Ertz only had five catches for 38 yards, so kind of so-so on that. And Jordan Howard, who we'll get to again on Fire and Ice, he was an ice pick for me going back to week 14, but he had a solid game with 101 rushing yards. He didn't score a touchdown, but, you know, 10 points is 10 points. My other what had happened was, did you have any to share with us for
no,
this
not
week
really,
or
man.
Last
I
week?
I kind of got
like
that out of my system there. I've got some matchups coming up that we'll get to later for this week and championship week. But
so last week we just weren't able to do it. A lot of life got in the way. That's
I was out of town. Then my car broke.
Yeah, that's the car broke down. Life happens, and so I did actually put together a Fire and Ice list, so you guys can trust me or not trust me with. I didn't put them out there, but I'll let you know. One of my ice picks was Derrick Henry, and they finally figured out that Derrick Henry is a workhorse running back. I mean, and this stat line is the definition of workhorse. 33 carries, which you almost never see in the league anymore, for 170 yards and two touchdowns. So he made me look like an idiot. So all those picks were bad, but I had
especially after that 200-plus yard Thursday night game, you think for surely Derrick Henry's not going to do that again. And that was a playoff game. So the amount of people that had Derrick Henry start in that Thursday night game had to have been like 10%.
Yeah.
Like, you did not get to the playoffs because you had Derrick Henry on your fantasy football team.
Yeah. I'm sure he was
you
probably
made it
out there
in
some shallow
Derrick
leagues.
Henry on your bench, congratulations. I know you didn't start him on Thursday, but if you rolled into this week and started him again, congratulations. You might just see Derrick Henry on the fire list this week as well, because I see no reason why the Tennessee Titans won't give him the ball a lot more. So.
But this will be the week that, you know.
He gets four carries. Deion Lewis gets 35 carries.
The Titans go
like
back to being the
yards.
Titans. Mariota is all of a sudden scoring two rushing touchdowns or whatever it is. But
so let's roll into I told you so. So how'd you do with your game preparation? See, I was out of town. Happy birthday, Dad, once again. My dad turned 80 years old last week, so I went to Louisiana. I had a big birthday party. Had a lot of family come in from San Antonio too, and it was a great week. You know, got to spend time with my daughter and my kids and whatnot. So. Did very little fantasy football preparation for a show because I was out of town. Did do a lot of football watching. So how'd you do as far as your fire picks or waiver wire ads last week?
I did pretty well with some of the other fire and ice picks I had outside of Derrick Henry. I rolled with Justin Jackson again, even though he burned me in week 14. He
solid
wound up
play.
Paying off. Yep. 58 rushing yards, one touchdown, but also had three catches for 27 yards. So solid flex play, and that's where you were playing him in most spots. David Johnson, he was a fire pick for me there as well. You know, kind of a so-so game, but wound up with some good numbers, good points, I should say. He only had 33 rushing yards on 11 carries, but did score a touchdown. Also had three grabs for 68 yards, so his stat line was fine. This one really makes me sad, though. Aaron Jones, I told you to ice him.
Your boy.
I told you to ice him, but it was more for the matchup. Oh, and he got ice and then like a cooler of ice and then a chest of ice, and he found himself.
Now he's just on ice.
On the IR, but if you benched him last week, that was the play. And another we'll talk about this. There's so many Williams that are involved with the championship outcomes this week. And then my final told you so, Nick Foles. He was an ice pick for me. A lot of people liked him as like a plug-and-play type. And you may think, oh, he must have had a good game because – you know, the Eagles had a good game. They went into L.A. and beat the Rams, but
not so much.
He only had 270 passing yards and zero touchdowns. So if you looked elsewhere this week, pretty accurate on some of those picks there, Bo.
All I can say for I told you so is for you faithful listeners that were listening 3 or 4 weeks ago, I don't remember exactly when it was, and it might have been beyond or before that. Once we got into like weeks, you know, 9, 10, 11, we started urging you to look at your playoff rosters. Those of you that had a pretty good shot at making the playoffs and getting rid of the fluff out of your rosters and start adding more handcuff-type guys, depth that you know you'll need. You know, guys like Jamal Williams have now paid off. A guy like John Kelly might this week pay off. Now, the Rams have something to play for here. They're still playing for the number two seed. They can still get the number one, but they have not locked up the number two seed at all, and it's the first round bye that these teams need.
And the Bears have the tiebreaker sitting there at the three, so they're in some must-win if they want that first
round. Now, I'm not saying, you know, because of that, I think Todd Gurley probably plays this week, but John Kelly is a must-add for Todd Gurley owners this week or for the rest of the season, the final 2 weeks of the season. And then you've got the Spencer Ware, Damian Williams.
And one thing with the Rams, too, earlier today, we're recording this on a Wednesday, and the Rams actually signed C.J. Anderson, which is always a sign that you kind of something, the injury bug kind of a type of thing. So I would consider Gurley questionable this week. And like Bo said, I mean, John Kelly could be very much in play.
It helps to have depth, especially at the running back position. You're going to get into a situation, you know, like with the Saints guys. If the Saints win this week, they lock up the number one seed. I don't know that you're going to see Kamara or Ingram sit this week as that's what they're playing for. Next week, you have no idea. They are each other's backup. They are, you know, the epitome of a tandem in the NFL. There's not a backup, so I don't know what you do there. But with other situations, you might see some running backs kind of get a little rest. The Rams probably think they can win this week without Todd Gurley. So I'm not saying if Todd Gurley starts, you're going to start him. He's the best player in fantasy football. Don't get too cute, but It is a situation once you get to this part in the season.
What happened with the Rams? I mean, as far as we'll still see. I mean, obviously they're
it's the NFL. Right?
I know, and it's any given Sunday. But at the same time, it's like you think it's your boy Cooper Kupp as a big part of it because he would. I mean, they have not been the same team since he's been out, and I mean, I think they're 500 since he went on the IR, so or something like that. But they're just it looks. I mean, them against the Eagles on that Sunday night game was odd to watch.
And it's a lot of offenses. It's not just the Rams, though. I mean, the Saints have sputtered the last few weeks. I mean, the Rams have been on the road. The Saints have been on the road. It's kind of – I don't know if it's scheduling. I don't know if it's offenses wearing down because of the length of the season is starting to get into that late time of the season where everybody's just banged up. Defensive guys, I don't know, are they tougher or defense is staying healthy towards the end of the season? But you got a lot of teams whose defenses have stepped up. And they're nowhere near the same defenses like they were the first half of the season. You got a lot of offenses that are just trying to get to the finish line, hopefully earn a bye or get their guys some rest so they can charge into the playoffs. What? So with that, let's get into some we're going to take a quick break.
Yeah, we'll take a quick break.
And then come back with some fire and ice. Welcome back to the Fantasy Football Podcast on 929thegame.com, formerly known as the Fantasy Flex. Bo Johnson, Brian Gebhardt.
It's the longest title of any fantasy football show.
And it's time for some fire and ice for Championship Week, Week 16. BJ, BG, who are you firing up this week?
Well, before we get to that, let me clear my throat on Dukes and Bell yesterday. If you get a chance to look it up, there's new betting odds out for who's going to be ruling Westeros at the end of Game of Thrones.
Oh, fantastic.
So for all you nerds out there, it's pretty fun. It's pretty cool. Just some different odds.
So who are the I mean, I would assume it'd be – I mean, what I want, what everybody wants – Is Jon Snow and Dany to be married and have little dragon babies and rule the entire world. I mean, that's what I want.
Jon Snow is the betting favorite. I'm actually pulling it up right now. He is at – I'll run him down real quick.
Let's do our whole segment around fire and ice. Yeah, man.
So these are the betting odds for who's going to rule Westeros at the end of Game of Thrones. Jon Snow plus 175. Bran Stark plus 250.
Okay.
Who a lot of people think is the Night King, which the Night King is at plus 900. Daenerys Targaryen. She is at plus 250. Arya Stark, plus 900. Tyrion Lannister, plus 1,000. Sansa Stark, plus 1,300. Cersei Lannister, plus 1,600. Gendry, plus 1,800. And Samuel Tarly, plus 2,000. Okay. So interesting. Yeah. I just thought it's just so random that this actually exists.
So who's your money with if you're going to have to pick? Now, what, 6 months away from Game of Thrones finally coming back?
Well, since they give me a hard time, I'd probably throw out like $50 on myself.
Yeah,
they call me Sam Tarly. Yep, 2,000. Yeah. I'm going Bran Stark at plus 250 / the Night King since I think they're the same.
So is he on the same line? Or
he's the second best. I mean, he's even with Daenerys Targaryen right now for
as the Night King, or is it?
No, it's separate. So Bran Stark plus 250, Night King plus 900. So I don't know if you put money on both or how that works.
I think that I think that's where my money would have to go, though, as a Night King, because I think that's how you could see Game of Thrones ending. And especially with that line, you win so much money. You know, as much as I want it to be Jon Snow and Daenerys, I don't know if one or both of them die or something. Something seems too perfect with that final, with them finally culminating to be, you know, the dragon couple. with a snow dragon couple or whatever.
Either way, it's going to be fun. And for those of you who haven't ever watched it, you know, go out and watch
it. I could also see Arya
Stark. Watch it before
too.
April.
That's plus 900. That's who my heartstrings pull at, Arya. Everybody loves her. She's a badass.
You got to look at those in that mid-tier range. Those are the ones, too. Yeah. So I'd probably put money on the Night King and then a little on Samwell Tarly.
I can see that happening. I can see, you know, the Game of Thrones writer people, and I don't even know if the last book is even done yet.
No, I don't think so.
Because he was writing alongside.
Yeah. I know the show is in front of the book at this
point. So I can see the entire, all of Westeros just becoming wintry. And everybody being a nice
It just
dog.
End like doom and gloom, yeah, like, see ya. All right, and we're done. But anyways, back to fantasy football. Sorry for that sidebar, but, I mean, our whole segment
people
is
people love the sidebars.
That's Game of Thrones. You know. I mean, this is, go out there and gamble your money away on who's going
to
rule.
And we'd love to hear your Game of Thrones feedback, you know, on social media, on podcasts. I'm sure we'll keep up with the podcast. We don't know if maybe we'll get in some baseball or something like that. But
actually, do me
maybe
a
we'll just do a Game of Thrones podcast after football season.
Actually, for those of you who are really into it and look up the theories and all that, we're having fun with the whole Bran Stark being the Night King thing. I told Carl Dukes that when we were at Twin Peaks a couple weeks ago broadcasting, and it looked like his mind was going to explode.
Yeah.
So tweet at him, let him know, because he's on vacation. That's it. Put him up, see Dukes, and just tweet him and tell him all your theories and all the crazy stuff that you think is going on with Game of Thrones, and it'll literally throw him into a tizzy.
Now, how do you
spiral.
Think that he could be – is this a theory that you actually believe?
Okay, if you...
I mean, it's plausible.
If
now,
you
is
type
he,
into Google,
is
Bran
he controlling
Stark,
the Night King, or does he transform into the Night King when he sleeps?
I think he is the Night King. I think when they never show them together, I think he is. I think he controls what the Night King is doing because he is the Night King.
So he controls him like an out-of-body experience, or he is the Night King. There's a difference here.
I think he is the Night King.
So he transforms into this...
Yeah.
Ghoul looking zombie guy.
Yep.
Of course, he's not really a zombie. He actually thinks and moves and does stuff.
He controls and is him, I think.
Well, there's a difference. You can't be both.
This is semantics at its highest level right
anyway,
now.
Anyway.
All right.
Fantasy football fire and ice. All right. The guy you got here firing up this week that's not named the Ice King.
All right.
Well. Which we will be crowning in our next fantasy football podcast, by the way. Last year, the Ice King, and I forgot what I called the fantasy football MVP. I don't know if it was the King of Fire or whatever, but the fantasy football MVP and the fantasy football dud of the year.
All right, we'll be giving
those
out.
Which was Dez Bryant last year was the Ice King.
Okay.
We will be handing those awards out in our next podcast, which you will find in 2 weeks after Christmas. But
yeah, we'll do one more after the regular season. We'll do some more throughout the offseason.
Yeah, we'll wrap up the fantasy football podcast officially with some awards, and we're going to go back and look at our
predictions,
long shots, and things like that we called her.
So, you know, all these things that
week
are
16.
Wrong. All right, now that the music's ran out. All right, Baker Mayfield, he's my first fire pick. I'm sure he's a Game of Thrones fan. You know, the Browns are still technically alive. Everybody loves this story. We were just looking at some of the playoff standings during our little break there. I love this matchup for Baker. He is at home against the Bengals. I think he just lights it up. It's been well documented that this Bengals team is one of the worst this season and of all time. And I could see Baker with 250, 300 plus and three touchdowns in this game. And I think if you're on those kind of teeter decisions with a lot of quarterbacks, I think Baker, you can fire him up with confidence this week.
As far as the situation goes with Baker Mayfield, you can look at Baker and Greg Williams. Greg Williams supposedly was the guy that was behind the whole Bounty Gate thing with the New Orleans Saints that cost them an entire freaking season. Mm-hmm. Neither one of those guys are modest. Neither one of those guys you feel like would be a good sportsman on the last couple of games of the season. They want to come in here and they want to say, Cleveland Browns, let's finish at 500 or better.
Yeah.
Let's run the score up on somebody. Let's throw, run, score, score, score. So I like that. I like that Baker Mayfield start there, because it's not like they don't have anything to play for. They're eliminated from the playoffs officially.
Well, not yet.
I think they are.
No. That's what I was telling you before we started. They have to have like a 50,000-to-1 chance. They have to have all of these things happen. They have to have.
It's like a 1% chance of making the playoffs.
It's less than. It's like 0.4% or something like that. But they're stranger things have happened. They need a number of things to happen as far as teams losing and winning this week, and then they need the Titans.
Several
and
more.
They need the Titans
the
and Colts
week.
To tie in Week 17. That's one of the.
Okay.
That's
so,
one of
yeah.
the parts.
So the Browns are eliminated from the playoffs. But they've got a lot to play for because this is the Cleveland Browns. And before this year, they had one win out of the last 32 games.
Yeah, so, exactly.
Staying on the quarterback thing right now, this is the week I feel that you picked up Dak Prescott for. We told you this like 4 or 5 weeks ago. You may have or may not have started Dak in these last 4 weeks or so, and he's probably – he may have gotten you into the playoffs and won you a playoff game. Not this past week he didn't. I picked up Dak Prescott in one league, and I have not started him yet because of his playoff schedule. I have Kirk Cousins in the same league, and I've kept Cousins in there. And there's a couple weeks where Dak scored a couple more points, a couple weeks where Kirk Cousins. They've kind of been neck and neck. This week, Kirk Cousins has a crap matchup. This week, Dak Prescott plays the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who have, next to the Miami Dolphins, probably the worst secondary and pass defense in the NFL. Also, like Josh Allen this week, and I think that you've got him maybe on a different list, Josh Allen with 351 rush yards in the last 4 weeks. I think in the last month or 6 weeks or so, is probably a top three quarterback in fantasy football with that high of a floor there. I think Josh Allen's going to have a good one versus the Pats this week because the Pats are going to come out. If there is such thing as an angry Tom Brady and an angry Bill Belichick, you're going to see it this week. They're coming off of two losses, which they probably should have won. They have not locked up their – I think they've won the division but haven't locked up a bye. You might see the Patriots in round one of the playoffs.
They're actually the 3 seed right now because the Texans are the 2. Yeah.
Yeah, so you might see the Patriots come out here and – because if the Patriots lose, they can't get the number one or two seed, if I'm not mistaken. So – because of them playing from behind, I like Josh Allen this week, keeping with that high floor.
I hear you. It's one of those. I teetered with putting Josh Allen actually in my ice picks this week. I played him in a matchup this past week. He's been pretty solid, as Bo mentioned. He's been running all over the place, so he's probably going to give you a nice floor. I just feel like it's one of those situations where I will never rule out this Patriots team until it's like officially done. I know they looked rough against the Steelers. They're obviously not as good as they've been in the last couple years. But this game's at home against the Bills, and they dominate the Bills. And I just feel like we're going to look up, it's going to be the middle of the second quarter, and it's going to be 24-3 Patriots, and we're going to be like, all right, here we go. And Allen again, but then he might get, you know, the scramble yards, the rushing yards,
they can't stop the run.
That's the thing, but I feel like –
and then when it comes to the fourth quarter, they are the kings of giving up garbage time.
And not to be, you know, a hot takey person or give you my Stephen A. Smith type of thing, but this really feels like the game where, all right, if the Bills keep this close and are – really push the Patriots to the limit, it's like, all right, this thing might be really not done, but they're definitely on the other side of this.
And once we get into our ice picks, I'm going to give you a few quarterbacks. I'm going to toss a few names up there that you might start Josh Allen in front of this week.
But, all right. My next fire pick is a guy we've talked a lot about on and off, especially me. I thought he was going to have a big season. He'll be one of my what had happened was after the year. But Jordan Howard, I like him a lot in this matchup this week. Bears are at San Fran. And this team is in playoff mode, like we mentioned a moment ago or a couple minutes ago. They're fighting for the 2 seed right now because if they wind up with the same record as the Rams, they have that tiebreaker. And if Chicago comes from what they were the last couple seasons into a team with the number 2 seed and the cold weather in Chicago being able to play that they want to play, these games are extremely important to them. Obviously, they're a team that want to run the ball. They want to play good defense. And I think they're going to make a point of playing that style this week against the woeful 49ers. Yeah. So I feel like this is a feed Jordan Howard type of a
game. Yeah, I don't think that the Bears are going to have much of a problem at all running the ball in San Francisco. You like Jordan Howard over Tariq Cohen this week?
I do.
You hate to say that.
I'm stubborn.
It seems like he's a smart play, though. They should have no problem whatsoever running the ball in San Francisco.
You know, it's one of those things where Tariq Cohen is clearly the more explosive player, but I think Jordan Howard will have a lot more opportunities than Cohen this week. And I feel like they're just going to try to ram the ball down the 49ers' throat.
So my next fire pick this week is going to be Jamal Williams, man. Your boy Aaron Jones lands on IR. Jamal Williams gets 55 yards off of 12 carries, but he also throws in 4 receptions for 42 yards. He's going to be the guy this week in Green Bay. I think they've got the Jets. And Jamal Williams is fighting for not a roster spot, but he's fighting for a spot on the depth chart as it goes into next season. Aaron Rodgers is banged up. Aaron Rodgers might not even play this week, all right, which we'll get into in our ice picks there. Green Bay gonna try to win this game, but they're gonna try to do so on the ground. I really like Jamal Williams this week. Probably the biggest waiver wire ad this week.
And you brought up the key point here. For me, he's a fire if Aaron Rodgers plays, and he's an ice if Aaron Rodgers is sat down for whatever reason. I just don't, because then the Jets have one thing to stop. And you know, I don't even know who the backup quarterback is in Green Bay right now. But regardless, I would probably look elsewhere if Rodgers is
the guy that used to play for the Bears.
The guy who used to play for the Bears. All right, you look that up. I'll let you guys know about my next fire pick. And that's Chris Carson. That's one of Bo's guys. He's someone I've been kind of suspect on most of the year. He's been a little Jekyll and Hyde, but he's had a lot of good weeks. And people might be concerned about his matchup against the Chiefs as far as the Seahawks trying to hang with the Chiefs scoring points-wise. But this game is in Seattle. I think you can fire him up with confidence against a weak Chiefs run defense this week. The Seahawks are going to want to try to run the ball. This is going to be a very much a playoff atmosphere there in Seattle, and I like Chris Carson a lot this week.
So my next one, I actually like that Chris Carson. It finally took, you know, the Seahawks have been a run team the entire season, or at least they've tried to be. You know, they've come out and said that their goal this year because of injuries is to not lose games as opposed to just going out and winning. But they finally figured out their rushing formula, and that's give the damn ball to Chris Carson when healthy and stop worrying about the other two guys. All right, Carson's had over 20 carries the last two games, and he has come through with 20-plus fantasy points in the last two games. Really like that one too. My last fire pick is going to be Derrick Henry. Now, this might seem quite obvious to you, but it's not. So if you were lucky enough to have Derrick Henry on your roster – like I said before, you probably did not start him 2 weeks ago when he ran for over 200 yards. But last week, he went for like 170. Derrick Henry has 408 rushing yards in the last 2 weeks on 50 carries. 50 carries in the last 2 weeks. It's all of a sudden, at the end of the season, when it's becoming less and less meaningful, the Tennessee Titans are all of a sudden like, ding, light bulb. Hey,
look at this guy.
Derrick Henry's on our team. We signed Deion Lewis and gave him like $5 million a year. Don't know why we did that. Don't know why we've stuck with him this entire time. He was a backup in New England. He should have been our backup in third down back this year, but we kept giving him the ball on first downs. Don't know why. Derrick Henry run the freaking Heisman because he weighs like 275 pounds but still runs like a 4.5 40. He is a bruiser back. He runs tall, like people say, but you drafted the guy for this reason. So, see, no reason why they're not going to give Derrick Henry the ball again 20-plus times coming up on the for the Tennessee Titans.
Don't screw this up, Tennessee. Don't do it. Just give him the ball. Just give him the ball.
But how many playoff rosters do you really think Derrick Henry's on? Probably is not a whole lot.
Well, but here's the thing.
Well, maybe he is on a lot of playoff rosters because he's the guy maybe that you had in a flex position like 2 weeks ago that, hey,
someone
here's 45
up.
Points out of my flex position. Derrick Henry, who's not been fantasy relevant the entire season.
Yeah. And the other thing to keep in mind with this game, and just a note here, if you will, there's no Thursday game this week. There are two Saturday games. This is the early game on Saturday. I set my lineups beforehand, but I almost forgot myself when that first game started on Saturday. I was like, oh, Hopkins scored a touchdown. It's 4:30 on a on a Saturday afternoon.
Had him in there already.
Yeah, but Redskins at Titans, that's at 4:30. Ravens at Chargers is at 8:20, and that gets us into our ice picks for this week. Why don't you kick us off here, Bo, with your first ice pick?
So I've got some quarterbacks here. DeShone Kizer, by the way, is the Green Bay backup quarterback.
I actually think, I mean, he didn't do well with the Browns, but no one does well with the Browns.
So it's Browns, not Bears. Yeah.
I think he's talented. I think he actually could be a starting quarterback in a couple years.
So Jared Goff leads my ice picks this week versus the Arizona Cardinals. They are at the Cardinals, if I'm not mistaken. Cardinals have a horrible rush defense. Even if the Rams are at home, I don't like Jared Goff this week. Cardinals have a horrible rush defense. I see this as being a huge game for Todd Gurley and or John Kelly. You know, it's not like you're going to bench Todd Gurley if he's active, but he might only play the first half. I can see him maybe accumulating over 100 total yards in the first half, maybe a touchdown or two. I don't maybe see him blowing up for like 40-plus points. But the Rams' offense has been stagnant over the last like 3 or 4 weeks, and it's mostly the passing offense. And it has been kind of since Cooper Kupp was placed on IR. I don't blame it all on the Cooper Kupp injury. But, you know, it's the end of the season. Maybe Goff's tired. Maybe Sean McVay's out of his mind with his play calling, or they're just not executing. That happens to NFL teams. You know, a lot of times it's the teams that are hottest at the end of the season, your Seahawks, your Bears, maybe your Cowboys that kind of make long playoff runs. So we'll see how the Rams end up acting. I would start Josh Allen over Jared Goff this week. That's just me. Tom Brady versus the Buffalo Bills probably did not win you any playoff games, but I'm not a big fan of Brady. Not a fan of Foles versus the Texans. Don't get cute there and start like that Nick Foles. Definitely not a fan of Aaron Rodgers this week or DeShone Kizer versus the Jets. Now, here's one that I kind of threw up to you while we were in the pre-show, and that's Pat Mahomes. And you're saying, you know, don't get cute. Pat Mahomes versus
don't
the Seahawks.
Cute.
Sunday
don't
Night Football.
Don't do it.
Seahawks are playing for something this week.
I know. Well, so are the Chiefs.
They are.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying I would start Josh Allen over Pat Mahomes. And, it, you know, if you were lucked out and drafted Pat Mahomes in the 13th round and he's gotten you this far, you're probably not going to bench him. But I'm just saying, I don't think Pat Mahomes has a great week versus the Seahawks on Sunday Night Football.
It's so interesting how we had so many, like, before the year and even in draft mode in the first couple of weeks, there's so many quarterback options. And now we're getting down to a situation where there's not. It doesn't seem like we have that plethora of options. And speaking of which, one who's come alive the last month and a half because he's given that opportunity to start, my first ice pick is Lamar Jackson. And that's because I just simply don't trust Lamar in the toughest matchup he's had so far as a starter. He's going to go on the road. Not that L.A. is a tough place to play for the Chargers. Hell, there might even be more Ravens fans in there, as we've
might
seen
be
at that StubHub Center, where the Chargers have no home field advantage. But this is a really important game for both teams. This Chargers defense is pretty good. They're not anywhere near the Bears or anything like that.
They have a great secondary, though.
But they're a top, like, 5-7 defense in the league. And I think the Chargers just shut down Lamar Jackson. And this is one of those games I could see actually getting out of hand in the Chargers' favor. I would look elsewhere for quarterbacks. I like some of the ones that you mentioned. Josh Allen. I would start Jared Goff over Lamar Jackson personally. I would start Tom Brady over Lamar Jackson. So he's someone for me, unless you have no other option at all, I would probably try to look elsewhere at quarterback.
So it's highly likely that Pat Mahomes and a quarterback like Drew Brees are on the same fantasy team. Keep in mind, even though Drew Brees has thrown up some goose eggs the last like 3 weeks on the road, the Saints are back at home this week, and they can clinch the first round bye. I look for a big game versus Drew Brees this week, a big bounce back game for the Saints. I'm definitely starting Drew Brees over Pat Mahomes this week. I don't like the matchup. I'm just saying.
Oof.
My next ice pick is going to be Leonard Fournette versus the Miami Dolphins. The Dolphins have like the worst rush defense in the NFL, maybe 31st. They give up 145 yards per game. It's such a tasty matchup. You like Leonard Fournette on your team. Last 2 weeks, he's had 25 carries. 25 total carries the last 2 weeks. The Jags have actually started going into their depth beyond T.J. Yeldon the last 2 weeks, I guess maybe to see what they have. Now Leonard Fournette's got an achy foot. Not going to surprise me one bit if he didn't even see the field this week, even if he dresses. Not a big fan of Leonard Fournette this week versus the Dolphins. It'd be a hard sit, but you know, it's not like he's carried you this entire season. He's had some injuries because of the foot injury this week. I think they take it and play it safe.
We don't do it often, but I'm double down, and I'm going to double down here with you on Leonard Fournette, trying to sit him. His foot's hurt. He looks like he's going to be limited in practice, but he's probably going to play. And it's because they're Doug Marrone stubborn, Tom Coughlin stubborn, the Jags aren't going to quit, yada, 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 yada. And they are going up against this Dolphins team. But the Dolphins are another team that, while they're not in the driver's seat by any means, they're still in the thick of things for that last wild card spot in the AFC. And this is all that the Jags have on offense. Sure, they have some good wide receivers, but with their crappy quarterback play, you shut down Leonard Fournette, you shut down this team's offense. And I could see one of those situations where maybe he, like, re-injures his foot early on in the game, even if he plays. Or like you said, he's only had 25 carries the last 2 weeks. Maybe he only gets, you know, 8, 10, 12 carries in this game. And if he doesn't score
a
touchdown,
know if he gets that much.
And if he doesn't score a touchdown, he's gonna disappoint you this week. So definitely try to look elsewhere.
The Jags took Leonard Fournette number 4 overall when they drafted him, and that was a little bit of a reach because of his ankle and leg issues. I don't feel good about that start this week. The best scenario, I think, for Leonard Fournette on your fantasy team is if the Jags just rule him out.
Yeah.
They would be doing you a favor by doing that because it would take all the guesswork out of it. My next ice picks, it's two guys, and this is a real-time, realistic quandary that I'm in, so I want your advice and anybody else that wants to get back of us or back with us on Facebook or Twitter, send us those suggestions. This is a real-time, real decision that I'm having to make, and I don't like – I've got both these guys on my ICE list this week, but I'm going to have to start one of them in the only league that I have left where I am in the finals, and that's going to be Stephon Diggs of the Minnesota Vikings who face the Detroit Lions, who Stephon Diggs is going to draw Darius Slay all day because Slay does not go into the slot. That's where Adam Thielen lines up a lot. You might see Slay on Thielen when Thielen does line up on the outside because he does do that some, which might leave Diggs open because they don't have much else outside of Darius Slay. The other one I've got on here is going to be Josh Gordon, who is almost certainly going to draw Tre'Davious White of the Buffalo Bills all day, who is one of the best cover corners in the league. You've got Trey White, Darius Slay, both probably top three having that type of seasons. Who would you roll with? I don't like either matchup.
I know, that's tough.
You know, I've got both Panthers wide receivers are on the waiver wire. Outside of that, it's a 12-team league. There's not a whole lot of depth out there. I'm not going to the waiver wire looking for somebody. I'm going to have to start one of these guys. It's almost like a coin flip.
A lot of times in these situations, I kind of fall back on the quarterback play. And so you mentioned the Panthers, two wide receivers. I'd rule them out because we obviously see that Cam can't.
Samuel and Moore, not Funchess.
Yeah, and he can't throw a pass Cam more than 10 yards for any accuracy right now. He's clearly something's wrong with him. So then it comes down to, for me, it's like a Cousins-Brady situation. And again, I go back to, I feel like we're going to look up in this Patriots game, and I feel like they're going to be beating the Bills pretty badly in this one. So I think based on opportunity, based on the quarterback play, I trust Brady more in a spot in a big game versus Cousins. So I would roll with Gordon, even though Diggs has been, throughout the year, probably a little bit better, I would imagine, points-wise. Yeah. But I would go with Flash Gordon in this one.
Now, you can very easily look up and see this, you know, in the second quarter, a 28-7 game. But Tom Brady doesn't need Josh Gordon to do that.
No, that's very true. You could have the James White touchdown.
He's thrown the ball to Chris Hogan
and the Gronk
in the last couple
of
games.
Yeah,
you've got Gronk. You've got
a special teamer that they bring
up. Seven
running
backs that they have.
Yeah.
You've got the guy on the practice squad that just got finished filling up the Pepsi machine. Yep. He's like, hey, come catch a touchdown by Tom Brady. Okay, coach.
Yep. Fullback.
So many more weapons on the Patriots than there are on the Minnesota Vikings. But it's...
That's who I'd go with. I'd go with Gordon. It's a tough decision.
That's
who I'd roll with. I don't know. That's probably gonna make or break your whole year, Bo. So
dude,
no pressure.
Yeah, this win
I can see it on you.
All of my dudes.
Oh man. All right, my final ice pick is Tevin Coleman, someone we know well here at 92.9 The Game, obviously Falcons running back. And you may look and say, hey, look, Coleman had this great game week 15.
Ito Smith on IR.
Right? Ito Smith on IR. He's got all the opportunities. And why not roll him out at Carolina this week? I don't like the matchup for Coleman. They're going to be playing a Carolina defense who they're out of it, but they're going to be playing for pride. And if they like Ron Rivera, they're also playing for their head coach's job. They looked really good I thought against the Saints in the game on Monday night as far as their defensive effort. So he's someone if you have to play him, sure. But again, I'd try to look elsewhere for running back this week.
Is our team still – well, now the Pro Bowl rosters were released, so it's not like they're playing for Pro Bowl positioning. But the Falcons are coming off of a win going up to Carolina. Still a division game. Both teams eliminated from the playoffs. I can see the Falcons coming out and – humming the ball to Julio Jones just to try to pad his stats for the season. I don't see Tevin Coleman having a huge game here.
Yeah,
you know?
I don't see. I mean, McCaffrey's going to do his thing for the Panthers and eat up a lot of. I actually think it's going to be sort of a similar game script to what we saw Monday night. I don't know if it'll be 12-9 again, and you know Julio will probably get a few more passes his way than you know Mike Thomas did in that game. But I do see something like I think McCaffrey's going to do work. I think Julio and Matt Ryan might have a good game, but outside of that, there's not a lot of good fantasy options in this one.
I don't mind that call, and it's not like Tevin Coleman. Tevin Coleman probably, if he's on your team, you stuck him in the flex a couple times. He might have won you a couple weeks, but it's not like if your playoff hopes are riding on Tevin Coleman, then good luck to you.
Yeah.
You know. So we're going to – is there anybody as far as waiver wire pickups? Is there anybody that we have not talked about? You know, we've got Jamal Williams. We've got Derrick Henry, who is not owned in a whole lot of teams. I look at three Williams for waiver on the waiver wire this week,
yep,
being Mike, Damian, and Jamal. Mike Williams for the San Diego Chargers, especially if Keenan Allen sits out. Mike Williams still only owned in 45.6% of ESPN leagues. Damian Williams for the Kansas City Chiefs. Keep an eye on this one because Spencer Ware is probably going to play this week. If Spencer Ware plays this week, I'm not a huge fan of Damian Williams. If he does not, then why the hell not? Roll him on out there. Jamal Williams for the Green Bay Packers still only owned in just over 50%. Of ESPN leagues anyway. Really, really like that play this week because Aaron Jones is officially on IR and Jamal Williams will be the guy. Any other names that kind of stick out there for you?
Yeah, it's never good when you're dropping Jets players' names, but there are a couple of the bigger pickups, I think, for this week. And again, we're doing this on a Wednesday, so your waivers have already passed.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
These guys are probably out there if you're in a spot where you know, you're not sure if you want to start your guy or you're still trying to find
and there's probably not a whole lot of activity on the waiver wire this week. Anyway,
down to two teams.
Playoff eliminated teams should not be fiddling with the waiver wire unless you're in a dynasty anyway. You know, those teams should be locked. You shouldn't be in there just trying to jack with stuff. Now, if you are a playoff team and you want to go out there and pick up a player or two for defensive purposes that you might not start, completely okay with that. So that might be something else that you look for. I'm going to go pick up this player so my opponent doesn't get him.
Yeah, 100%. Little block.
Yeah.
Here are the couple names I have. Jets wide receiver Robbie Anderson, who we were both high on in the beginning of the year, and it's ironic that last 2 weeks he's played pretty well, and he's got a good matchup at home against the Green Bay Packers right now.
All right, so Robbie Anderson,
oh man,
along with the two Carolina receivers, is available. Would you dare start Robbie Anderson over Josh Gordon or Stephon Diggs, who both have bad matchups? I'm not going to do that.
I know.
Because
but it's probably the right play.
It might
but
be.
But it's so, like, you just can't.
And Quincy Enunwa on IR also, I think that's why Robbie Anderson.
Yeah, I think so.
Hurt.
If not, we haven't heard much from him anyways.
Which is why Robbie Anderson had to get. He's the only guy on the Jets.
I just think the Packers could roll over and die, especially if Aaron Rodgers is done. Not that they haven't already, but, gosh. I'd probably still go Gordon out of that group. But, man, that's a decision.
This is a team that I've got Todd Gurley and Mike Thomas on this team, and I'm hoping that you know the Saints blow it up versus the Steelers and clinch. I'm hoping Todd Gurley, because the Rams need him to, has a good game, and I don't have to worry about that wide receiver two spot. Got Chris Carson on this team also.
Okay.
Starting Dak Prescott.
All right.
Hopefully it doesn't come down to that.
Yeah.
But I got a feeling like it might.
All right. Other guy I got – that's a tough decision, man. Other guy I got – is Jets running back Elijah McGuire, same game at home versus Green Bay. Again, if you're the Fournette owner, if you're the Coleman owner.
Hey, that's a legit
I mean, those are the ones
right
that you got to
pick up.
You
got to probably start Eli McGuire over both those guys.
Yeah. Other guy I've got, and this is more of a sort of a desperation play if you're in a PPR. And he's owned in most leagues, but if Deshaun Hamilton, Broncos wide receivers out there, we've got this really miserable Monday night game coming up between the Broncos and the Raiders. Wish we could flex that this late in the season. And two defenses I just want to mention here in case you're in a spot where your defense doesn't have a good matchup. There's not other good ones on the waiver wire. The Dolphins defense at home versus the Jags, even though we talked about how bad they are, but we don't like Fournette. We hate the Jags offense. This game is at home in Miami, and they all have been competitive. They have been pesky. Not that you want to roll your championship hopes on the Miami
Dolphins
defense.
The Jags might
defense,
give the Dolphins defense like 15
exactly.
points in turnovers.
This is really more about the Jags than the Dolphins. But this is about both. If you see the Browns defense out there, I think they're a good play this week. They're at home versus Cincy, so that's an interesting one there as well. Quick thoughts on anything. You know, first thing is, just finish your championship. Your league should be done in week 16. But if for whatever reason you have a week 17 championship, or some leagues do the week 16 plus week 17.
Yeah, I don't mind that either.
That's not the worst thing in the world. But don't do your flat out 1 week championship in week 17. But any thoughts in general for week 17, Bo?
Week 17, you know, you're obviously paying close attention to the playoff teams who might be resting players. You're also paying attention to the teams that have nothing to play for, that have any type situation, even if it's a jam toe of a player. Pay attention this week to practices or next week, practices and injury reports.
Yeah.
You know, if a player shows up on the injury report late in the week next week, you know, week 17, last game of the season, if it's a team that has nothing to play for, that player is probably not going to play. If you have players like, you know, Frank Gore, who was officially, I think, shut down. Players like that, veteran players who are under contract for next year and might have a sprained toe or a busted wrist or something like that, something you would normally see them play through. Just keep an eye on that. You know, you're going to want to look at depth of players. You know, the John Kelly for Todd Gurley is a huge add if you have a week 17. You know, whoever's third, and I don't even know who it is, on the Saints depth chart at running back might be a big one. You know, you might not see a lot of Mike Thomas in week 17. So look at depth of teams. You know, backups, I would be flooding my bench spots. If I'm playing in a week 17 playoff game, I'm flooding my bench with players who are handcuffs or backups to the top 10 type guys in each, you know, statistical category.
Yeah, and keep an eye on just the playoff scenarios in general. The interesting thing about week 17 is that most of these teams are going to be involved in seeding.
Yeah.
You know, the Saints could wrap up home field in the NFC, but besides that, like, everything else is going to be on the line as far as...
I don't even think there's an AFC team that can do that this week.
I don't think so. Yeah, because the Chiefs would still have to win out, assuming that the Chargers win. Because the Chargers could still, even though they're sitting in the wild card, they could still be the number one overall seed
records
in the AFC.
The Chiefs have the better division record. That's the only reason why the Chiefs are in that spot right now.
Exactly.
But if the Chiefs stumble again...
And they could easily lose to Seattle on Sunday night. I mean, that wouldn't shock anybody. So just keep an eye on all of that. And that's the interesting thing about this week 17. Like you mentioned in our pre-podcast meeting, if you will, when we were talking, is that basically, you know, you're going to have half the league still alive or involved with seeding, if not more, coming up on week 17. So just keep an eye, like you do every week, on the injury situation and who's going to be playing or not playing players coming up in the final week of the season.
Yeah, outside of that, good luck in week 16. Good luck in week 17. You won't hear from us again until 2 weeks from now when the entire NFL season will be wrapped up.
Yeah, we'll catch you in 2019. You'll probably hear us.
That's right.
Yeah.
It'll be the first podcast of 2019. You'll see us in a couple of weeks. So good luck in your championship games. We wish you all the luck. For my co-host and super producer, Brian Gephardt, my name is Bo Johnson. This has been the Fantasy Football Podcast on 929 The Game, formerly known as the Fantasy Flex.
Maybe we'll have a new name by 2019.
Yeah, come on, crack legal team. Cheers.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.